Okay, let's get rolling here. It's so nice to see so many faces. It's so nice to see a lot of names also on the Zoom. Even though I don't see your faces, I see your names, and that's also really nice. So it's good to see the chevra here. I wanted to talk a little bit about Inyani Sfira Sa'omer tonight. I hope that's okay with everybody. And again, shkayach to Shlomo Hershey for arranging everything and being Osek B'Tzarech HaTzibur and trying to be Marbitz more and more and more and more Torah. So v'chein yirbu, and Hashem should give you the koach and the resolve to continue pushing, even when people ignore your texts or WhatsApps. But you should always keep on going strong and keep on spreading Torah. It's really awesome. I wanted to focus on Sfira Sa'omer. I want to ask a couple questions, and hopefully over the course of the next little bit, we'll hopefully walk away with something tangible and something relevant. Number one, again, depending on the Sfarim that you open up, but if you're into, for sure, the Chassidish Sfarim, You open up Sfarim on Inyani Sfira, and they talk about how these days of Sfira are really the Yesodos, they're the building blocks for the entire year. So I don't know about you. I happen to be Chassidically inclined, but at the same time, I'm a little incredulous when I see ideas like that. Okay, maybe Pesach is the night of Amunah, and that's something maybe a little bit more, jumps out. It's maybe a little bit more obvious, but when it comes to Sfiras Omer as being the Yesod of all of our Avodas Hashem for the entire year, it makes you wonder, and you have to kind of think, like, what's up with that idea? That's question number one. Question number two is as follows. It always struck me as odd that Sfiras Omer was very interesting, because it's not like if you miss the second night of Ner Chanukah, you can no longer, light Ner Chanukah anymore. And it's not like if you miss shaking lulav and esrog, if you miss sitting in a sukkah on one day of sukkahs, even on Chol HaMoed, it's not like you cannot continue. However, we know this idea that when it comes to counting Sfiras Omer with a bracha, if you miss a night with a bracha, so then you can no longer count with a bracha. And I thought it's very interesting, because let's hold off on the bracha thing. Just each day, you talk about the significance of every single day. Again, we mentioned people who are Hasidically inclined or not. We know if you look at almost any sitter, even an art scroll sitter, a plain old regular sitter, you take the sitter and they have the Sfiros next to the count, right? So you say, tonight is this night of Omer. Oh, and it's Chesed Shebikvura, Tferes Shebahod, whatever it may be. Now, I know very, very little about that, but I do know it means a lot. And every single day is jam-packed. Not only that, on a level of Kabbalah, but if you look at the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, you look at Parak Kinyanat Torah, so there is the Braisa that discusses all the different Kinyanei HaTorah. And many of the Sfarim say there are 48 Kinyanei HaTorah, and they correspond to the 49 days of Sfira. It's one day off, so all the Sfarim say you go through a Kinyan a day, you learn one every single day, and then on the last day, on the 49th Erev Shavuos, you do Chazara, and you go through them all. But it's clear that every single day is jam-packed, and every single day is significant. So I was always wondering, what's the significance of every single day? And then, thirdly, what we started to mention was that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Or HaChaim Siman Tav Peites, that if you miss one day without a bracha, im shachach levarich be'echad mehayamim, bein yom rishon, bein mishar yamim, sofer bishar yamim, below bracha. If you miss one day of Sfiras Omer without a bracha, you can no longer continue to count with a bracha. Now that happens to be a big machlokas in the Rishonim. My good friend was just texting me earlier tonight. We were talking about this idea, and he said there are really a lot of Sfarim and a lot of poskim, that say you really can continue counting with a bracha. He said he had a shaila from one of his students who got out early in the count and didn't want to tell his father that he lost count. So he asked his rebbe, he asked my friend, if he can continue to count with a bracha. Should he say a fake bracha? What's going on? And there really is a lot. There are a lot of poskim who do indeed say you can continue to count with a bracha. Nonetheless, though, we paskin halach lamais and shulchan aruch that if you forget or you miss one night, so you do not continue to count with the bracha. Again, even though we assume, the Mishnah Berurah points out, that there is a large group of rishonim and poskim who say each day is an independent mitzvah, we say safek brachos lahakol, and therefore we're not going to continue to make a new bracha. But again, like we were saying, the notion of every single day being so critical to the entire, let's say, unit of time that we're in, is unique to Sfiras Omer, right? Like we were saying, you miss one night of Ner Chanukah, you can still continue to light as we move forward. So those are the three questions that I really want to get to. What does it mean, number one, that it's the source of all Kedusha for the entire year? Why is it that it seems to be that there's more significance placed on the individual days of Sfira more so than other Yamim Tovim? And perhaps additionally, the third idea was that if you miss a night, you continue without a bracha, which is also unusual, because it seems to say that every single day is critical. So we have to really take a step back. If you look at the Torah and you look at the main Rishonim on the Torah, they already begin to talk about what Siras HaOmer is. The Ramban notes, there's a well-known Ramban, the Ramban notes that Shavuos is actually called in Parshas Emor, it's called Atzeres. Why is it called Atzeres? And he says it's referred to as Atzeres because really, it's a bookend to Pesach. He writes the following, V'hayamim ha-sipurim bein sayim k'cholo shel moed bein harishon v'hashmini b'chag. He says Siras HaOmer is viewed as the Chol HaMoed between Pesach, which is, so to speak, the first day, and then Shemini Atzeres, the last day, the Atzeres of that Yom Tov, of that time unit, that's what Shavuos is. V'hu Yom Matan Torah Sheherem Bo Es Esho HaGadola V'dibar of Shimo Mitoch Esh. We heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice from the fire, L'kach Yikru Razal B'chol Mokom Chag HaShavuos Atzeres. Why is it called Chag Atzeres? Ki Hu Ki Yom Shemini Shel Chag Shekaru HaKasov Kim. So the Ramban seems to jump out right away and say Pesach and Shavuos are the bookends. Hashem took us out, Ga'alti and Lakachti. Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim in order to take us to Matan Torah. There's a well-known gematria, one of my Rebbeim, Rav Moshe Tzvi, likes to say, from the Lublina Rav Meir Shapiro, that Nasa V'Nishma is the same gematria as Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is gematria 891, same gematria as Nasa V'Nishma. And the whole purpose of taking us out of Mitzrayim wasn't just to take us out so we can hang out, you know, and drink cold lemonade in the midbar, but it's to go get the Torah. So there's this idea, we run to the Torah. So these days of Chol HaMoed, but they're really, as we go and look towards Matan Torah, and that's what really some of the Sfarim view, and not just some, but many view, Siras HaOmer is. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us that we're counting up towards Matan Torah. Ki haminyan mare ba'adam, ki kol yishiv kol chavtzo, lagil is manahu. We count up towards Matan Torah to convey that our sole desire is to get to Matan Torah, to see that Gilo Yishchina. V'zehu sha'anu monim kach v'kach yamim avru min aminyin. We say this is how many days passed. We're this much closer. V'ein anu monim kach v'kach yamim yish lanu lizman. We don't count down, but we count up, which expresses our excitement to that day. And we're going to discuss that a little bit more in just a little bit. Ki kol zeh mar lanu ha'raton ha'chazak la'giya el hazman. We're trying to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're so excited to get this time. So we're saying that their days, number one, of Cholo Shemoed between Pesach and Shavuos. Number two, their days of Hachana towards Matan Torah. And there's a well-known idea that people quote from the Or Chaim HaKadosh. The Or Chaim HaKadosh also, in Parshas Emor, tells us the following. He compares the 7 weeks that we count to the Shiva Nikiyim a woman counts to make sure that she's Tahor. He says the following. We count 7. Lispor Sheva Shabbosos V'amru Zal Ki Letzad Shahayu Bitumas Mitzrayim. We left the land that was filled with Tuma and filled with promiscuity. And we needed to purify ourselves and purify our minds and our machshavos. V'ratz Hashem lehizdavig le'umazo. Hashem wanted to connect and bind himself to Bnei Yisrael. Dama kamishpa nida shedina lispor shiva nekiyim. So we had the status of a woman who needs to count her shiva nekiyim in order to become tahor, to be with her husband again. But tziva, Hashem commanded us to count these sheva shavuos. V'az yihu mukhsharim lahachnisam. Kala l'chuppah, and only after those 7 days we can go to Matan Torah to be under the chuppah of Maimed Har Sinai to marry HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really what these days are about. They're days of Hachana for Matan Torah, and they're days of Chol El Shemoed between these two Yamim Tovim. And I think it's important just to highlight the Ramban also at the beginning of Sefer Shemos. He writes at in his Akdama to the entire Sefer Shemos a beautiful idea. He says, "L'chein chazer v'hiskil b'shemos yordei Mitzrayim." We know at the very beginning of Sefer Shemos, we go through all the names of those who came down to Mitzrayim. We go through the Shvatim, we go through the names. We already did that at the end of Vayichi. So he says, "No, but avor ki yiridasam sham." When we went down to Mitzrayim, who reishis hagalos? That was for Shteitzach. It was for sure the beginning of Galus. Kime az huchal. That's when it began. V'hine hagalos einenu neshlam ad yom shuvam el mekomam ve'el ma'ilas avosam yeshuvu. The only place that you can call, let's say, home, the only place that's considered really, it's only the only defined place of Geula is when we returned home. Ukashiyatsu mi Mitzrayim, when we left Mitzrayim, when we had that Geula, what seemed like Geula, he says, Afal pi shiyatsu mi beis avadim adayin yechshavu golem. We were still considered people of exile. We were still considered like as if we were in Galus. Ki hayu ba'aretz lo lahem nevuchim ba'midbar. We were wandering in the midbar. Ukishabo el har Sinai va'asu ha'mishkan. Only once we received the Torah, and only once we began to build a Mishkan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'shav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hishra shchinaso b'nehem, only after Matan Torah, only after we built the Mishkan, and only when there was Hashraz Hashchina on the Mishkan, Ashavu El Mailos Avosim, that's when we reached the place of the Avos, who lived with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Only after Matan Torah, only after we internalized the Torah and we built a Mishkan, and Hashem said, okay, this is a people I want to spend time with. So then, and only then, was it deemed a Geula. So it seems like we're marching towards, we're not marching through days of Chol HaMoed, but we're marching towards almost Temimus, or completion, or Shlemus. We're trying to get to the point where we're whole. And that's what we're trying to think about over the days of Sfirah Se'omer. Now, these are very well could be ideas we've heard before, but I'm hoping to add a little bit more to it. If we look at the Sefer, it's titled Einei Yisrael by Rav Elia Weintraub, who was a big tzaddik who lived in Bnei Brak. He was the Rebbe, or one of the Rebbeim, I should say, of Rav Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo. And he has a beautiful Sefer on the Moadim, and he has letters in the back, and it's really a fabulous Sefer. So he has a beautiful, beautiful idea. He writes the following. He quotes a Medrash in Parshas Emor. The Medrash says like this. The Medrash says that all sevens are chaviv. Kol shevi'in chavivin. All sevens are chaviv, are beloved in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Medrash says, Shabbos is the seventh of the week, and that's the most precious day of the week in Hashem's eyes. There's Shemitah, which is the most precious year, and Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the seventh generation from Avraham Avinu, he was the most precious of all time. So there's this notion of seven is being chaviv. So what's that mean? So Rabbi Elia explained that the seventh is the tachlis of the previous six that lead up to it. Right? So in other words, all 6 days are really just leading up to Shabbos. And once you get to Shabbos, right, we know from Shemona Esrei in Shabbos, tachlis ma'aseh shemayim va'aretz, that it was the tachlis of everything. The whole point of Briyas Olam was to get to that point of Shabbos where we can be just with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And not only that, Moshe was the tachlis of the avodah, of the avos, and that was to bring Bnei Yisrael to Matan Torah, to give them the Torah, that we can receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was that tachlis. Moshe Rabbeinu took everything that all the avos and everyone who preceded him, everything they were trying to accomplish, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who actualized that. He was chaviv in that way. So when we get to the tachlis, again, you get back to the Nekudas HaReishis. You get back to that initial point, or that initial kavana of the entire endeavor, so to speak. Just like we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, Sof Maaseh Machshava Tchila. Right, at the end of what we finally accomplish, at the end of that, that's really all what we wanted to do the entire time. The beginning of the machshava is to get to that tachlis, to get to that point. So if you think about it, leaving Mitzrayim, the whole purpose of leaving Mitzrayim was to get us to Matan Torah. But he says further, and if you're into Ramazim, you like this idea, he quotes the famous pasuk in Mishlei, Im tevakshena ka kesef, v'chamat monim tach besena. Right, if you search for it like money and you dig for it like hidden treasures, so then you're going to find Yiras Hashem. So he quotes the Sefer Okeh, who says a beautiful remes. He says the matmonim is osios memtes monim, meaning you count 49 days. The whole essence of these 49 days of Sfirah Se'omer, we're supposed to be mechapes, we're supposed to be mevakish, we're supposed to be searching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to be doing that by looking inside ourselves, by taking a look and seeing where we're holding and what we're trying to accomplish and how we're going about doing so. Are there certain things that are inhibiting us? Are there certain things that are cultivating our growth? Are there certain things that are standing in the way? Whether external or internal, we have to be mechapes, just like matmonim, just like hidden things, you have to dig deep. So he says the following. He quotes the pasuk in Daniel that says, Yehev chachmasa lechachimin, which is a very funny pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives chachma to the wise ones. Which is funny, because if you don't believe you're too wise, so then how are you ever going to get any more chachma? It seems to be that it's, how do you jump in? How do you start, how do you get in the game to begin with? How do you get chachma to start playing? Right? So how does it work? That what does it mean Hashem gives chachma to the wise ones? What does it mean to be wise? So if you take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos, in the beginning of the fourth parak, he has a beautiful idea. Right, everybody knows the Mishnah, Izu chacham halomed mikol adam. Who is wise? So someone who learns from everybody. So Rabbeinu Yonah says beautifully. He says that there are lots and lots of smart people in the world. But just because you're smart doesn't mean you're a chacham. Just because you know a lot, it doesn't necessarily mean you love chachma. He says, Amru chachmei ha'umos ki ha'yodea kol ha'chachmos im eno ohev ha'chachma eno chacham ela tipesh. Acher she'eno ohev ha'chachma ki hu hadas. Meaning you could have a person who's really, really bright, who knows a whole lot, but he's actually defined as a tipesh. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, right? This is a pretty stark word. He's saying this guy's an idiot. He's a moron. He's a fool. Who's a chacham? Who's really wise? Acha oiv osa umisave eleha. Someone who loves wisdom and who is misave after it, who longs for it, desires it, wants it. Afa pishene yodeaklum. The guy can mamish know nothing and be defined as a chacham. Why? Because he has that cheshek, he has that bikush, he has that chipus, he's looking for it in everywhere, every person he meets. He's trying to learn something. He can learn from everyone. Halomei mikol adam. And that's why Rabbeinu Yonah says, shekol kach ohev hachacham u'misave ileh, sheshol lekol adam. You meet someone in shul, you meet someone at the supermarket, Erev Shabbos, he says, hey, you have a word for me on the Parsha. You see a guy behind the counter at the deli. Hey, you hear any nice idea recently from anyone who came in? If you love it so much, you're going to be searching for it everywhere. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. So it seems to be, again, a chacham is someone who's misave. A chacham, there needs to be the cheshek, and there needs to be that desire to grow and to learn and to hear more. So how does this fit into everything we've been saying? So I think we also have to maybe mention one more thing, and then we're going to begin to tie the pieces together. There's one figure in Chazal who might be more connected to Sfiras Omer more so than other people, and that's Rabbi Akiva. Right? Because we know, even though the Ramban said that fundamentally the days of Sfira are Chol Shemoed, and they're special days, right? It's funny that the Sfiras Omer that we actually experience as Manasseh is very different than the one that Hashem had in mind when Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah. Because it's clouded to a degree with Yom HaShoah, Yom HaTzmaut, Yom HaZikaron, Lag BaOmer. There's so much going on in the context of our Sfiras Omer, but fundamentally, it's this Chol Shemoi that we quoted from the Ramban. However, maybe the one figure that's most associated when you think of Sfiras Omer, automatically we think about Rabbi Akiva. We think about Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. And one of the most, I don't want to say the most famous story, because there's so many amazing stories that Chazal have with Rabbi Akiva, but perhaps one of the most well-known ones that we've heard from such a young age is about the water dripping on the rock. Avos Darbi Nasan in Perek Vav tells us that Rabbi Akiva was sitting by the rock, and the water is dripping and dripping and dripping, and it makes an indent, and we all know that Rabbi Akiva thought, wow, if the water can make an indent on a rock, so then for sure, Kal v'chomer, the Torah can impact me. It's kind of bizarre. Right, like what exactly did he say? Like, ah, wow, that's amazing. You know, what made him say, that's a game changer for me. That's different. I'm going to change the way I live my life. So there's a beautiful idea my friend Rabbi Jordan Ginsburg Shlita shared with me. He showed me a Rasul Salanter. And Rasul Salanter says the following. That Rabbi Akiva did not do well with delayed gratification. Meaning Rabbi Akiva tried, apparently, to get into Torah, says Rabbi Sol Salanter. He tried to connect to Torah, he tried to learn Torah, and it did not come easily to him. And he gave up. He totally dropped it, and he was not just like parav about it when he gave up, he was anti. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us on Mem Tes Amud Beis that Rabbi Akiva wanted to bite Talmidei Chachamim like a donkey. Which is kind of bizarre. His Talmidim said to him, you know, Rebbe, what's up with that? Why not just like a dog? Right, Rabbi Akiva said, when I was in Am Haaretz, I used to want to bite Talmidei Chachamim like a donkey. Talmidim said, why do you have to be so, you know, what's up with a donkey? Why not just like a dog? And he says, no, because a donkey's bite is fundamentally different than that of a dog, because a donkey's bite breaks bones. What's the significance? That's like a funny Maimer Chazal. So the Maral explains that a donkey, we know in Hebrew, is a chamor. And the Maral says that that's actually related to the word chomer, which means material, and the physical world. And perhaps that this is the idea that Rabbi Sol Salanter was getting at. Rabbi Akiva hated when he didn't get that instant gratification. He needed it right away. He wanted everything instantly, just like that. Everything physical, all tanuge olam hazeh that we experience is immediate. There's a geshmak that happens right away. But when it comes to ruchnius, it's more often about the long-term benefits of things. It's not about the immediate ones. You have to put in a lot of work in order for something to work out until you see the fruits of your labors, until you really begin to benefit from it. The water dripping on the rock taught Rabbi Akiva two different things. Number one, that after lots of hard work, one can eventually reach his goal. And it's not going to be instant. It takes time. And it's also teaching Rabbi Akiva that it's not just about the outcome, but it's about the process. It's about every single step, every single drop along the way had a mila in and of itself because it was actually contributing to something much greater. Rabbi Akiva also not just had a whole entire, you know, personality change and shift in the way he led his life, but we know from the Gemara and Ksuvos that he embodied this message as well. Because we know that Rabbi Akiva was learning of this Talmidim for 12 years. I don't know if anyone has seen anything like this. I've been wondering that he learned for 12 years, and then 12 years, and we know it was 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. I'm sure there are people who write about that. I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about. Al Kopanim, Rabbi Akiva learned for 12 years of this Talmidim, and on his way back into town, we know that his wife said, he overheard her saying, if he was going to learn for another 12 years, it'd be fine with me. He didn't even go inside to say Shalom Aleichem. He went right back to the base measure with his Talmidim and stayed for another 12 years. And that's 24 years in total. And I think perhaps more than the actual total, right? It's not just about the 24 years of learning, but it's the way in which the learning was done. It was done beretzifus. It was done with a sense of continuity. It was all one big number. And it was recognizing that you can't skip stages. You can't take breaks. There has to be a sense of consistency and a recognition that if you're going to achieve that goal that you set for yourself in the long term, you need to go about it one by one by one by one. And I remember learning with my father a couple years ago a beautiful idea by Rav Pinkus. And this, I think, answers the question that many of us have had on that Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch says we count up and not down to Matan Torah. And that expresses our tremendous cheshek for Matan Torah. But I don't know about you, and I don't think I've ever been to a ball dropping or anything like that on New Year's. But they don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Everyone counts down from 10. The whole entire world counts down from 10 when you're excited. 3, 2, what's counting up? 8, 9, 10, it's like, it even sounds weird. So what's going on? Sir Pinkus said, he gave a mashal. He said that if a person told you, I'll give you, I don't know, $1 million in 10 days from now. You can get $1 million from me. So if you don't have anything to do for those 9 days, their mom is just filibusters, and you're just waiting to get there. You're waiting for this guy to give you the cash. But he says a different mashal to help us understand Sfira. He says, if a person told you, I will give you $1 million in 10 days, but you have to come to me every single day for the next 10 days, and I will give you $100,000. So now those days in between are fundamentally different. They're now no longer filibusters, but they're actually incredibly important to reaching your goal. Without one day, you kind of miss out on something. You're lacking. You're out 100 grand. Every single day is precious. Says Rav Pinkus, when we're counting up, we're showing Hashem that the days of Sfira are chol moed that are so special, that are such precious days, that are jam-packed with the Sfiros in Kabbalah that I don't necessarily understand. They're filled with the Kinyanei Torah that I can begin to understand. But every single day is significant. Every single day is precious. And we need to chap arayin and take advantage of every single day. And that's what's going on during Sfira Asa Omer. We have to recognize that. And when we're counting up, says the Sefer Achinuch, that's how we're displaying our chesed. We're saying, Hashem, we're so excited for Torah. And we recognize the only way we're going to be able to be mekabel the Torah properly is by counting up. If we counted down, it would actually express that we're not properly preparing ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. By counting up, we're showing Hashem we're so excited and we're getting so perfectly ready to be Mekabel of the Torah. That's what's going on. And I think maybe, just maybe, this is the entire avoda of Sfira Asa Omer. We know we left Mitzrayim b'chipazon. Again, the first days of Yontif, if we're following the Ramban's model. The first days of Yontif are Pesach. We know we ran out. We ran out of Mitzrayim b'chipazon super quickly. And I think that kind of signified a national transformation. We were becoming the Amon Nivchar. We were becoming Hashem's nation. But when you jump into something in such an excited fashion, so you don't always know all the details. You forget to dot the I's and cross the T's a little bit. You forget a comma here, whatever it may be. And even though we were so excited at the beginning, we have to kind of take a step back. We were on the 49th level. Tum Hashem whistled out of Mitzrayim. And we got to this incredibly high level. But Hashem said, hey, I'm not going to give you the Torah right away. We have 49 days to work on ourselves, to show Hashem that we're worth it, to show Hashem that we can do it, that we're ready to rise to the challenge and accept this beautiful responsibility of being this Amon Nivchar. So this initial burst of inspiration needs to be followed up with substantial days of growth and self-reflection to make sure that we're the proper kalim to be mekabel the Torah. And that's really what the Sfas Emes says. The Sfas Emes says in Pesach, Shnas Tav Reish Samach Beis, that the days of Sfira are Yimei Tahara. They're Yimei Hachana and Yimei Tahara for Kabbalah Satorah. Because he says, Tahara mevi lide kedusha. The only way you can become kadosh, the only way you can be mekabel Torah and have it impact us in the proper ways that it's meant to, is if we properly prepare ourselves. And he says, Kan b'yitzias Mitzrayim ba kedusha milamala kodem shenitharu nafshos b'nei Yisrael. It was a complete isarus dila'ila. Hashem came and again swooped down, took us out of Mitzrayim and totally saved us. And that's the difference. Shinoi ba Pesach shelo b'hadarga. Pesach wasn't methodical, it wasn't gradual. It was snap of the fingers. It was all keherifayin. As we know, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. If we dropped to the 50th, it would have been gone. L'chein tzrichim acher kach, says the Sfas Emes, l'tayr ha-memtes sha'arim b'yemei asfira. So Hashem said, I took you out from 49. Now show me 49 days of you working on yourselves so that you can be mekabel the Torah properly. That's what's going on during Yemei HaSfira. We're supposed to go through these days as fundamental, transformative days to our entire mahus, to entire personality of people who want to be mekabel the Torah. And I think maybe that's why that Sfira HaZomer is a little bit harsher than other days. If you miss one day without a bracha, so yes, there are poskim who say you can continue to count with the bracha. And for sure, the Mishnah Berurah even says you should continue to count even without a bracha. Because it's still a mitzvah, and it's just because of Safek Brachos HaHakol that we're not counting. But every single day is critical. We know that from the Sfiros, we know that from the Kinyanei HaTorah, we know that from the Chumrah of the Shulchan Aruch, to not make a bracha. Every single day is critical. And I think when it comes to growth, and when it comes to setting, and then setting goals, and then setting out to achieve those goals, you have to be very serious, and you can't take days off. You have to recognize, I have a goal, I want to accomplish something, so what do I need to do? Right, I was talking to this idea with a dear friend of mine, Rav Baruch Nosson Halevi Shlita, and he was saying, you know, this idea is almost antithetical to Judaism. Because so often we hear when we're in yeshiva and seminary, you know, Shevi Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, and don't worry, it's going to be okay, and you can get up again, and you missed it, don't worry, Chaperayin the next day, and it's great, it's Gevaldik, Hashem loves you. And that's all true. But at the end of the day, we have to recognize that we have to be serious. We have to say, Hashem, listen, I'm showing you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm ready to be Mekabel Torah. And if you're ready to be Mekabel Torah, it means that we're serious and we're going to set certain Gedarim, we're going to set certain expectations to know what we're going to do for every single day. Right? If you go through that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Brayse in the sixth parak, every single day, so to speak, is Oiske Cheshbind already. This is the Kinyan that we're supposed to be working on. This is the Sfira of this day. It's saying, Hashem, I have a plan. You know, in money management, they talk about if you have, every dollar should be set aside for something, whether it's, you know, rent or mortgage or the water bill or the gas bill or the whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, dinner and date night. But the point is, every single thing coming in should be cheshbon for something. It should be calculated. You know what you're doing. If you have, you know, a couple hours free in the day, what are we going to do? And I think also, by the way, that makes us feel a lot more productive. Instead of, you know, going to bed at the end of the day thinking, you know, what did I even accomplish today? If you set goals for yourself at the beginning of the day, if you set even a semi-schedule for yourself at the beginning of the day, I want to accomplish 1, 2, and 3. At the end of the day, you're going to feel a lot more accomplished, even if you didn't use that much extra during the day. But when you set goals for yourself along the day, different checkpoints, whether it's daily or weekly or even monthly, so then you're going to feel a lot better. And I think maybe that's also answering our first question that we asked. The Sfas Emes and others pointed out that the source of Kedusha for the entire year comes from Sfira HaSomer. Why is that? It might make sense to me to say, everything comes from Pesach. Everything comes from Shavuos when we got the Torah. So what is it, these in-between Chol Moed types of days? So I think it's because if we learn to have goals and figure out how we're going to go about attaining those goals, that'll have a qualitative difference in the way we live our lives. It'll be a totally transformative experience. And that's what these days are supposed to be. They're supposed to transform us into different people. And I think that's the Gemara in Pesachim as well. The Gemara tells us, also a well-known idea. The Gemara says in Samech Ches Amid Beis that Rabbi Yosef said that if it wasn't for Shavuos, right, every Shavuos, B'yom Adat Sarasa, he told his servants to make a beautiful, lavish Seuda. And he would say, if we didn't have this day, Imroi Lohai Yuma Dika Garim Kama Yosef Ika Bashuk, if there wasn't for this day of Shavuos, how many other, you know, average Joes would there be in the street? How many Josephs, how many Yosefs would there be around in the marketplace? I think what he's saying is that Matan Torah was a transformative experience. But I think it can only be a transformative experience if we ready ourselves, we prepare ourselves properly for it. And that's the avoda of Yemei HaSfira. Yemei HaSfira is saying, Hashem, I am taking the proper steps in order to achieve my goal. I am making use of this day. I am taking full advantage of this day. I am squeezing out every minute of every moment that I have to make sure that I'm properly prepared for this amazing gift of Matan Torah so that we can get to Maimed Har Sinai with the Giloy Shechina and say, Atah Reis Ladas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Od. And say, wow, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the gift, the beautiful gift of Torah that He's giving to us. But it's only if we prepare ourselves and get us into the mindset of this is the most important thing, and the Torah is what's going to help us, that we can get the Torah. And again, that's what was going on in the Sefer Daniel, when it says, Yahev Chachmasa L'chakimin. How can we possibly get that Chachma of Torah? It's only if we have that bikush, like Rabbeinu Yonah told us. Rabbeinu Yonah told us that Chachma is defined as the bikush and the chipush and the drive, the cheshek for Torah, and the cheshek for wisdom. So how can we get the Torah, how can we get the ultimate wisdom? Come Shavuos. Only if we show a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're working on ourselves and making sure and showing that we want the Torah. The way to do that is by working on ourselves and showing that we're trying to refine our midos. Derech Eretz Kadmu LaTorah. That's how we know that we learned a Pirkei Avos in this time. There's the minhag to learn on Shabbos, or really even during the weeks, to learn a Perek of Pirkei Avos. We have to be readying ourselves to be Mekabel Torah, to make sure there are no cracks in the kli, to make sure that we're whole and shalem people, to properly be Mekabel the Torah. And I think that's what's going on. We want to make sure that we're ready to be Mekabel the Torah and have that transformative experience come Leil Shavuos. And I think that's really what Rav Gedalia Shor points out in his Sefer Or Gedaliyahu, that there is a minhag to count Sfiras HaOmer at the beginning of the night. At Seisak Elchav and Mamish right away. Rav Avadya is a tshuva. Should we count earlier, right after Shkia? Is it okay to count Be'en HaShemashos? And it's Leibedik, depending on if you hold it to Daraisa Derabanan. That's not the point for now. The point for now is to recognize that you want to count right away at the beginning of the night. Because you're showing Hashem the Yakira, the preciousness, and the Chashiva Sazman. You're saying, Hashem, Imlo Achshav Imasai, if I miss this day, like Rav Pinkas said, that's $100,000 down the tubes. You missed out on that day. We have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am going to take advantage of every single moment and recognize that every single day is precious. We want to make sure that these weeks are tamimos, that they're whole, so that we make sure that we are tamim, so that we can be mekabel the Torah, so that Torah is Hashem tamima, that eventually the Torah itself can finish off, to be the makah v'patish on our tamimos, and that we can have that amazing relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. I hope everybody has a phenomenal rest of the week, and that we use these days properly, and we're zocha to this Kabbalah Satorah come Shavuos.